Once again, on this day known as Reformation Sunday, we turn our thoughts to the central teaching of the Reformation as founded upon the glorious person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ for the edification of believers and the saving of sinners. Those remember that the biblical teaching of the Reformation was nothing new. Rather, it was the truth of the gospel as it focused upon the Lord Jesus Christ being rediscovered, re-emphasized, revived, and re-preached. Always remember, the Reformation was not something new. Rather, from the time man fell into sin, God had only one way, one method of justifying or pardoning fallen sinners. And it was by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone, not by the works of men. And that was the message from the time of Adam and Eve's fall into sin. And while there were those dark ages, while during the times of Romanism and superstition, there was that great movement of God where this message once again was discovered, rediscovered and re-preached. The message that thrilled the heart of Luther and so many more, that it is only Jesus Christ, or God justifies or pardons sinners. And I will keep every time I use maybe a word that may be not familiar, instead of just shouting a word out, I'll always give you a bit of an explanation of it, and that will give help. So when God justifies or declares a sinner to be righteous, to be pardoned, it is always through and by and in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the term that we will use for this is the word mediator. And we read that there in our 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. For there is one mediator, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. You may have heard this verse many times, you may have read it many times, you may have seen it displayed on a church or in the open air, and you've maybe never really looked at it or thought much about it. What does this word mean? Maybe you would even use it in prayer. Well, the word mediator is made up of two words, the word middle and the word to go. And so really the word means one who goes between two parties, or one who stands in the middle of two parties or two groups for the purpose to represent each and to reconcile or to draw those two parties together. In this case, the two groups or the two parties are God and man. And therefore you have the Lord Jesus Christ as the middleman, as the one in the middle, as the only mediator who will reconcile, who will bring both together. Furthermore, there is the special emphasis in this verse that signifies that Jesus Christ is the only mediator between God and man. Because notice, it says, the verse says, and one mediator. In the language, it reads, the mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And so Paul is making a direct reference to Jesus Christ as the only mediator, as the only one who can reconcile God and man. He is not one of many. He is the only one. He intervenes between God and man, not to try and make peace or to try and reconcile the parties. Rather, he intervenes as by his power to secure and accomplish that peace. What Christ sets out to do, he accomplishes it. He restores back to God those who have fallen into sin, those who have been given to him by the Father. And so in teaching Timothy, Paul brings to his mind, when preaching the gospel, while others will have their own mediators, while others will invent their own ways to heaven, they're all false, they're all vain. Timothy, when you preach, there is only one mediator between God and man, and it is the man Christ Jesus. And that's what thrilled the heart of Luther. That's what thrilled the heart of the reformers. When the people were held in bondage to all these different idols and images and mediators, Luther was thrilled at the fact that these are all false, for there is only one mediator between God and man. There's only one Savior, one Redeemer between God and man, and it is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we want to look at four thoughts of Christ as the only mediator. Notice first of all, the reason why Christ is the only mediator. Paul is quick to show that a mediator does not come because God needs one for himself. Rather, God has provided a mediator for men in order to reconcile man to himself. Throughout this passage, Paul has emphasized man's fallen condition. He makes reference to God's saving purpose in verse 4, that God will have all men, or as the word means, all kinds of men, men from every nation, every social level, every background, all kinds of men to be saved and come onto the knowledge of the truth. And so the very fact man is a fallen creature, the very fact man needs to be saved, signifies he needs one to bring him into the presence of God. Again, verse 14, Paul speaks of Adam and Eve's fall into sin as a transgression. What does the word transgression mean? It means to violate. It means to step over the mark. It means to go beyond. Remember, when God gave that command to Adam and Eve, thou shalt not. That's the line. That's the line not to step over. But they rebelled against God. And what God said not to do, they went ahead and did. They rebelled. They violated God's law. They transgressed God's law. They stepped over the mark. When we were in Sandown Camp, you heard me testify on Thursday night. Back then when it was held in the Whitfield College of the Bible, there was this river that ran on the side of the college, and it was very, very dangerous if any of the young children would go near it. And so the leaders, what they would have done from one side of the college right along the river to the other side, they would have put a white line. And that white line signified not to go over it. If you go over that line, they said you'll be sent home. And so there was that lesson not to go over. And so that's what transgression means. Adam and Eve, in a sense, they stepped over the white line. What God said not to do, they did. And they disobeyed and brought sin into the world. And because of that, man is now born a sinner, because we have fallen and sinned in Adam by one man. Sin came into the world. You may say, how can that be? I was not there. But I say to you, Adam, as the first man, he was our federal head. He was our representative. His action stood for us. If Adam obeyed, he would have had a reward, earned a reward for himself and all humanity who would flow from him or come from him. But equally true, Adam's rebellion, Adam's penalty, the curse of Adam's disobedience would also be the curse and the penalty of all who would fall from him. And therefore, what Adam did affected us. He represented us. He stood for us. And therefore, because Adam fell into sin as our representative, we have fallen in Adam and sinned in Adam. Put it like this. God viewed all mankind as in Adam. And therefore, Adam, as a sin is called, is a transgression, a violation, stepping over the mark, willful disobedience to God's command. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin, what is sin? Sin is a transgression of the law, or a violation of the law. Sin is lawlessness. And therefore, sinner, that is your condition right now. As a rebel, as a fallen sinner, as a transgressor of the law, God views you in Adam as one who has transgressed his law, as a law breaker. You may have come in today and you see yourself as a law-abiding citizen, but in the eyes of God, you are a law breaker, for you have broken his law, and his law calls out for your judgment and your damnation. The law hangs over you with condemnation. Guilty, guilty, guilty. For the Lord Jesus Christ said that the wrath of God abides upon him. The wrath of God abides upon the one who is lost in sin. It continually abides upon the sinner. I want you to grasp that, men and women, in your lost condition. Every day you rest your head on the pillow, God's wrath hangs over you, calling out for the day of your judgment, when you will meet the punishment of sin. Child of God, that was our lost estate. That was our condition. But hallelujah, for the grace of God, when we were saved that day, we passed from condemnation to justification. We passed from guilt to pardon, from on the road to hell to now on the road to heaven. And therefore, we must not forget the truth. As Paul said in Galatians, the scripture hath concluded, all are under sin. Not just some, not just the poor, not just the wealthy. All are under sin. Psalm 7 verse 11, God is angry with the wicked every day. Now that's a different term than people would use today. Sinners today would say, God is happy with my sin or the lifestyle that I live. But God's word says, God is angry with the wicked every day. Isaiah 53, verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Man by nature is in rebellion against God and will continually go his own way. That's why he's described like a sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray. Now, I'm not a farmer, but certainly I've heard and understood that sheep wander. They keep just going from field to field. At no point does the sheep turn around and stop and say to itself, hold on, I've gone too far, I need to get back. It just keeps going on, ba ba ba. And so, man in his sin just willfully, continually goes deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into sin. And he does so willfully because he loves his sin. He loves the pleasure of his sin. All we like sheep have gone astray. And so man is spiritually helpless. Man is hopeless. Man cannot change himself. Man cannot save himself. Man cannot take himself off his own course. Rather, he needs one who can do for him what he can never do for himself. And so what does man do? He then tries to turn to different things. He knows he can't bring himself out of his sinful state. He can't put himself on the right way. So he tries to turn to many different things that will get him on the right way. And so they make up all these many mediators, all these different things between them and God. Something middle, that they put Mary there and they pray to Mary. Or that they put images or statues or any other ism. And they think that these will help. And they think that Christ needs help. And so they come to Christ, they try, seek to come to God to find pardon from sin. But God plus the church, or God plus baptism, or God plus everything, or Christ plus everything else, tradition, whatever you want to mention. They have all these different mediators, things that they do. But Paul is teaching us here that man, yes, he needs a mediator. He needs one to stand between him and God. But there is only one who can do that. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And without Christ's intervention, man will continue in his lost estate. Man will continue on that road leading to his destruction. And therefore, Paul is teaching Timothy, and we're learning today, there are not many mediators, nor are there different mediators for different periods of time, or let me just say, nor are there different saviors or mediators for different parts of the day or different days of the week. There is only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. He entered into a covenant, a promise of grace with God the Father. And what was that promise? That he would come into this world as the Savior of sinners to accomplish, to secure redemption, to live a perfect life, and then to offer up that perfect life as acceptable to God as the only way sinners would be saved. Therefore, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only mediator. That is the reason why Christ is the only mediator. Because men are lost in sin and they cannot do themselves what needs to be done to find acceptance with God, to find peace with God, to have a perfect righteousness with God. Rather, Paul said it is Christ who gave himself a ransom for all. It is Christ who paid the full debt of our sin. Have you ever thought about that? Christ has paid the debt in full. He didn't pay 99% and leave 1% for you to do. He didn't say, I'll do part of the work and you do the rest. No, he has paid a full redemption. He paid the full price. Hallelujah. What a Savior. He did all that was required for our salvation. Therefore, he gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God our Father. I say to you, child of God, this day, you can rejoice that Christ has done all that was needed for your salvation. He done all that was required for you to have a perfect righteousness into heaven. Sinner, today, forget all your isms and anything else, whatever you're trying to do, your trickery and popery and whatever else. Come to Jesus Christ, for he is the only mediator between God and men. Notice secondly, the requirements of Christ, the only mediator. The great work of reconciling a holy God and sinful men requires a unique person to fulfill the role of a mediator, a middle man. A mediator who intervenes between God and men must be related to both, must be acceptable to both, must be capable of representing both. Why is that? Because he is God's representative to men, and he is man's representative to God. He must bring God to men and bring men to God. And that is the requirement of the mediator. In other words, he must be God, both God and man. He must accomplish two things. He must completely and perfectly satisfy God's nature or God's holiness, his righteousness and justice as revealed by his law. We said man has sinned. God's law has been broken. God's wrath is angry with the sinner. And so that must be honored. The law must be honored. But also he must provide a perfect righteousness, a perfect covering for sinners, that they can enter into heaven. And so the only one who can meet this requirement must be both God and man. He must meet the qualification. He must be absolutely perfect. And no man can meet this qualification. No man can meet this requirement. Only the Lord Jesus Christ. Because 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 says, God will manifest in the flesh. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 19, Paul said, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. God was in Christ, not in anyone else. And therefore, this requirement, the mediator, he must be man. The one who would save men must be identified with those he came to save. Remember, it was said of Christ in the book of Luke, this man receiveth sinners. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 7, Christ took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. You see, it was man who sinned. It was man who rebelled. It was man who fell under the curse of the law. It was man who had broken God's law. Therefore, must be man. The mediator must come to represent man. He must be a man. Deity cannot suffer. Deity cannot die. And therefore, in the fullness of time, at the right time, the perfect time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them from the curse, from the penalty, from the condemnation of that law. Matthew 1, verse 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted God with us. God tabernacled among us. And therefore, Christ, the eternal Son of God, the Word of God, was made flesh and dwelt among us. His deity and his humanity united in one person by means of the miracle of the virgin birth. So the mediator between God and men, he must be a man. He must also be without sin, because that makes sense. A sinful mediator cannot intervene on behalf of sinners. That which is sinful can never take away sin. That's why I can never pardon your sin, because I am just a sinful creature. I can never take away your sin. And therefore, the one who is the mediator must be without the guilt of sin. Otherwise, he would require a mediator himself. And therefore, here we have the Lord Jesus Christ in what is termed as his impeccability, which means his sinless life. Christ meets the requirement. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, he knew no sin. Christ had no sin of his own. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, it speaks of Christ who is without sin. And therefore, as the sinless one, as the impeccable one, as the perfect one, he is a lamb without spot and without blemish. He is the one who has constant access to God. 1 John 3, verse 5, he was manifested, or he appeared, he came to this world to take away our sins. And in him is no sin. We are full of sin. Didn't 1 John teach us that? If any man says he has no sin, he deceiveth himself and he makes God a liar. And therefore, no man can take away sin. No man can pardon your sin. The one who takes away sin must be sinless. And therefore, only Christ, who is sinless, can take away sin. He also must be God. He must be co-equal and co-eternal with the Father in order to approach the Father on the behalf of his people. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John 10, verse 30, I and my Father are one. Only a divine person can destroy the power of Satan. 1 John 3, verse 8, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And so when we put all this together, the requirements of the mediator, when Paul said to Timothy, there is only one God and one mediator between God and man, when we put it all together, and he highlights it as the man Christ Jesus, the one who meets all the requirements, he is what is termed as the theanthropic person, what is termed as the God-man. Both God and man in one person. Two distinct natures in one person forever. Hebrews 7, verse 26. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. The word became means that which is suited, or that which is fitting. And so we can read it that way. Such a high priest became us, was suitable. In other words, only Jesus Christ is the suitable mediator, the qualified mediator, because he meets all the requirements. As fallen sinners, we do not meet God's requirements, because Paul highlighted this in Galatians chapter 2, verse 21. Paul said, if righteousness, or if you want, if justification, or if the pardon of sins come by the law, then Christ died in vain. And so Paul said, if I can be justified by living a principled life, or by living a good life, or by any other way, then Christ died in vain. The words literally read, Christ died for nothing. If I can get to heaven by my works, by just going to a wee man down the road and say a wee prayer, and he says, I forgive you. If that could happen, then Christ died for nothing. And therefore, see it. Christ had to die for the saving of sinners. Because Paul went on to say, if there had been a law which could have given life, then righteousness should have been by the law. But then he went on to say in Galatians 3, verse 11, no man, no person is justified by the works of the law in the sight of God. For it is evident, it is clear, and this is what thrilled Luther's heart, the just, or if you want, the justified, or the righteous ones, shall live by faith. And so, for sinners to live by faith, for sinners to have their faith resting in Christ, it is because he is the only mediator. And whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Child of God, you are secured today because Christ is a perfect Savior. You are secured today for all eternity because Christ met all the demands. But I tell you this, if you're here and you're trusting in some religious leader or some ism, or because you go to some confessional box and you're depending upon that man's words, you have everything to fear. Christ is the only mediator between God and man. Notice thirdly the role of Christ as the only mediator. In the Old Testament, the covenant of grace, the plan of redemption, was taught by objects, by a symbolism, but all pointing to Jesus Christ. And notice what the word says there. There is one God and one mediator between men, the man, Christ Jesus. And so if you take those names, the man, Christ Jesus, the word or the name Jesus, what does the name Jesus mean? Well, it's taken from Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So the name Jesus means Savior. The Old Testament equivalent to the name Jesus is Joshua. What does Joshua mean? It means Jesus, or Jehovah, is salvation. So when you look at the name Jesus, it signifies one who is the only Savior. So when Paul says there's only one mediator between God and men, it is the man Christ Jesus. He's saying the only mediator is the one who is the Savior, who is Jesus Christ. He's the only one who can save, who can rescue, who can deliver sinners. The name Christ, it means the anointed one. It is the word from the Old Testament meaning Messiah. Again, in John chapter 1, verse 41, what did Andrew say to his brother? We have found the Messiah. Or we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And so there you have it. It refers to the Lord Jesus Christ in his role as the mediator, the one who is the anointed one, the one who is the Savior of sinners, the one who gave his life a ransom, the one who took full responsibility for our sins. He became our substitute. He paid the full price. Hebrews 10, verse 12. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. And therefore Christ is the only mediator, the sinless mediator, the substitutionary mediator, the successful mediator, and the sufficient mediator. He has taken the guilt of our sins away. He has removed them behind his back. He has cast them into the sea of his forgetfulness. He has blotted our sins. We have peace with God through the blood of his cross. That is the role of the mediator. He is the Savior. He is the anointed one. He is the one who's been given the role that no man could fulfill. And I understand today you have people will stand in a place and claim themselves to be a mediator, or claim themselves to be one who can forgive sin. But don't you believe it? Because the role of the mediator only Christ can fulfill. Notice, finally, and that leads on to the right of Christ as the only mediator. Nowhere in Scripture is the title and role of the mediator given to anyone but Christ. There is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Hebrews 8, verse 6, he is termed as the mediator of a better covenant. In Hebrews 9, verse 15, he is the mediator of the New Testament. In Hebrews 12, verse 24, Jesus, the mediator of the New Covenant. And so the whole point is, only Christ has the right and the title and the position of a mediator, as one who brings men to God and God to men. Anyone else is an impostor, a man pleaser, a seeker of titles, and are accused of God. Paul said to the church at the churches at Galatia, if any man preach on to you any other gospel other than ye have heard, let him be accursed. And therefore, if any man comes to you and seeks to be, says he is a mediator, or says to get to God you must come through me, he is an impostor. He is accursed of God, because there's only one mediator, and only Christ has the right and the authority of the mediator, because he's the one chosen and appointed and qualified by God. He's the only one who has been given by God. We learn in closing, the Lord Jesus said in speaking to the man sick of palsy, in Mark chapter 2, verse 10, that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. That means only Christ has the authority on earth to forgive sins. Acts 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation or deliverance in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And therefore, it is Christ who stands between God and men. It is Christ who brings men to God. When we come to pray, we come to God through Christ. We don't come through the name of this denomination. We don't come through the name of any the moderator of this religion, of this denomination. We come to God through the perfect righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I ask you in closing, have you come that way? If you've come that way, praise the Lord. What a joy to know it is well with your soul. What a joy to know that your sins have been truly forgiven, truly pardoned. You're on the way to heaven because of Christ and who he is and what he has done. But one who are not saved today, you need to come and abandon anything else that you're seeking to get to heaven, or anything else you're trying to place with Christ, and say, like the songwriter, my faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary. There's none compared to Christ. There's no other Savior. There's no other Redeemer. There's no other mediator. Only Christ alone. Are you saved today? Are your sins forgiven? Have they been washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ by faith? Are they fully atoned for today? If not, they can be right now. You don't have to go through some ceremony. You can just sit where you are and call upon the Lord to save you. I have no wee box down the road to say, meet me in 10 minutes and we'll talk. You can just, where you are right now, call upon the Lord to save you. And he will, for his name's sake. Amen. Amen.